of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth, and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Jogging with the herb at the field for the healing of the nation. Fruit and vegetable for medication. So much food, so much variation. Sustenation for all generation. It's there in abundance. Vitamins and minerals and whole heap of nutrients. Anti-inflammatory and antioxidants. Give your temple a chance, cause health is wealth, ital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital.
Welcome to another episode of To Your Health, a program designed to not only inform but to also turn your life and health around. I am Frank C. Smith, producer of To Your Health, sitting in for Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host, who's under the weather. Today, we have part two of Why is Mold So Dangerous? And our returning guest is the mold remediation expert, Al Hawkins. We'll do a brief recap of last week's broadcast, but it's one you should listen to in its entirety. Mr. Hawkins, please do a short review of what we went over last week for any listeners that missed this broadcast.
Very good. Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, last week we discussed, questions that were asked of me was, number one, how did I get into the mold remediation business? I was brought in by the late, great Roy Johnson, who brought me in for lead-based paint encapsulation. He explained to me and got my full attention that a piece of lead administered to a child 6 days later, that child will have lost one IQ point permanently. Wow. That got my attention. And I went with Roy and we did lead, we did some asbestos, and we did mold. I started with him in 1995. And in 2009, I called him up and told him I'm going to go on my own, and I was going to concentrate solely on mold because no one understood it and it was killing people. The second question was, why is mold so dangerous? In my opinion, the biggest reason, it's so stealthy. It hides behind the walls. It hides in the attics, in your basement, behind walls and in ceilings, and you never see it. But the mold spores that come off of it find their way into the living spaces, through wire channels, plumbing channels, and so forth. The second reason is so dangerous is because people tend to ignore it. They'll see spots on the wall or see stains in the ceiling, and they will ignore it because they don't, there's no imminent danger in their minds that this is without the knowledge that these spots are producing mold spores that you inhale. That creates all types of problems for you. The third question was, how do you know when mold is in your home, in your home or workplace? Well, sometimes you'll smell it. You don't always have to smell it. But sometimes you do. Then you have visual. If you see spots on the walls or ceiling or in your basement, you know, pay attention to it. And then you have some people will itch. You have respiratory issues. And one of the main things that you notice, if you're feeling sick when you're in your home, if you leave the home and feel better, then you know something is going on in your home or workplace. I mentioned that you should examine the return vent. That's the biggest vent in your home, to see if it's dirty looking, or supply vents. They would have black dust looking stuff on the vents. And if you see it on the supply vents, you know it's throughout your ductwork, because the air that goes in through your return vent is filtered. And if you have the proper filter in, it will filter all the airborne contaminants out. Most of the filters are rated for mold and pollen on the package. So make sure you get one that's rated for mold, so that it will filter the air in your home. The next one, what are some of the health effects of inhaling mold? And it depends on your immune system. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are immunocompromised. Elderly people who are taking medications have a weakened immune system. Infants whose immune systems are developing. And it also depends on the length of time that you're exposed to it and the extent of the growth of the mold. Mm-hmm. Aspergillus has been known to produce respiratory tract infections. And if you have asthma, you're very keen to mold. And if you start having asthma attacks more than normal, you can suspect that there's something in your environment that you need to pay attention to. Then the question was asked, how do you know your house has mold? Well, one of the sure ways is to have your house, if you suspect anything, if you had a water event, a leaky roof, burst pipe, or flood in your basement, you should get a air spore trap test done. Some people call it an air quality test. So that will let you know. We pull air through a cassette, and that cassette has medium in it that traps spores. We then seal that cassette up and send it to a laboratory. The lab will look at it under a microscope. They'll actually count the spores, and based on the number of times or the number of minutes, the assessor, the mold assessor, tells the lab that they ran that pump to pull air through the cassette. The lab can give a detailed report citing how much mold is in your house. They'll actually do a spore count, what types of mold are in your home, and how those type molds found affect the human body. Another question was, should I try to remove the mold myself? Well, out of the three jurisdictions in the tri-state area, D.C. is the only one that has mold regulations at this point. Maryland is threatening to start mold regulations sometime in 2026. Senator Shanika Henson introduced that bill, and we're thinking it's going to go through sometime in 2026. But right now, D.C. Regulations tell you that if it's over 10 square feet, which is not a big area, that you should have someone, a professional, come in and do the work. 10 square feet, you can cut it out. You can, you can wear the appropriate gear, N95 masks, some goggles, gloves, long sleeve shirt with your collar up, and you can go ahead and cut it out. Then it was asked, Can air cleaners clear the air of mold? Air purifiers can do it. Ventilation systems can do it, but they're temporary. Mm-hmm. You have to get to the source. It's better to have purifiers going than not to have it going. But you have to get to the source of where the spores are coming from. What areas got wet in the past? You may have just gotten the house and are unaware that they had a flood in the basement because they cleaned it up so well. But they cleaned the outside of the drywall. And when that water hit, it affects both the outside and the inside of the drywall. So you've got inside the drywall festering or sporulating, as we call it. That's the mold reproductive process. And it will, as I said earlier, it will eventually, the spores will find their way into the living space where you sit around all day inhaling them. I mentioned asthma before, and last week we mentioned it. You can contract asthma by inhaling Aspergillus penicillium, mm-hmm. a type of mold. You can actually contract asthma. We had my wife used to be a school nurse, and she came home one day and she said, oh my goodness, I got five people in the same family in the same house that have asthma. Well, that's a pretty good indicator something's going on in the environment in that house. And my first suspicion was Aspergillus penicillium. If you go to Baltimore and them old houses, you open the door to the basement, you don't have to go down the stairs. You can feel the dampness. You can smell it. And that's because they have these old stone or brick foundation walls that don't allow running water, but just enough moisture to create the sporulation process, the mold reproductive process. And people sit in those homes all day long inhaling it, and they contract asthma. That's why Baltimore has twice the asthma rate as the state of Maryland. Philadelphia is the state of Pennsylvania, Memphis, Detroit, right on across the country, with these older buildings and with those old stone foundation walls that allow moisture to get in. So, air purifiers work, but only temporarily. Ventilation systems work, but only temporarily. You can run those and they will clean the air if they have the proper filter in it. Your regular air handler, or as people call it, the furnace in your house, if it's hooked to a duct system, you've got air going through that filter. As soon as the air gets sucked into the return vent, it goes through a filter. And if that filter is the right kind, if it's in there sealed properly, it's got to have a door on the front so air can't bypass the filter. All the air in your house might go through that filter 5 or 6 times a day. So that's your first line of defense, mm-hmm. when you are looking to get rid of airborne contaminants. And I explained last week that most people don't know how to change the filter. I've seen people go in, pull the filter out, and on the way to the garbage can, they wave it. Well, you're releasing microscopic spores that the filter just trapped. So the proper way to do it is to go there with a plastic bag, gently slide that filter out right into that plastic bag, grab the top of it, and then you can walk to the garbage can with it. So the filter that you want to have in there is the pleated kind, the paper pleated kind of filter. Those are the ones that are rated for mold and pollen. If you've got the old fiberglass filters or some other metal filter, you can pretty much hold those up to the light and you can see through it. Some of them holes are big enough for me to get through, or used to be able to get through. But, we're talking about particles less than 3 microns. So that's pretty small, and you want the proper filter in there to filter those contaminants out of the air, so it doesn't go through your ductwork and get distributed throughout the house. One of the main concerns we have is when the water seeks the lowest level. So most basements, if they had pipe or roof leak or flooded basement, the basement is always suspect to me when I walk in a house that had water leakage. And most of the time you'll find the furnace in the basement. Mm-hmm. So if the sporulation is occurring in the basement, you don't have proper filtration in there, then it will get sucked up into the system and distributed throughout your entire house. Wow. So, even though you only had a problem in the basement, you're going to be looking at the entire house with contamination.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. How can you find a reputable mold assessor and remediator?
Well, they're in the phone book. DC has a list, and I would advise everybody to look at DC's list of assessors. Assessors are inspectors that come in, perform the type tests I was talking about, and find out where the mold is, where the moisture is, and how much mold you have in your house. Remediators go in and they clean up the mold and cut it out. And DC, Department of Energy, has a list of people that have gone through their criteria of classes and have passed a test somewhere, and then they're able to go in to be listed on that website. So I would suggest that you go in there. They've got about 100 of them, and they select from one of those. But at the same time, you got to go by your gut feeling as to whether you or not you're dealing with somebody that you want to go into business with. So look at the list. I would call maybe three of them and, get a good feel for who you're dealing with and if they're being fair. They will come out, give you an estimate, and you don't necessarily have to go for the lowest estimate. Compare apples to apples. Find out what they're doing. In the estimate, they will spell out that how many air scrubbers or negative air machines they're going to put in, what type of, or how many dehumidifiers they're going to put in, what their process is in getting rid of the mold. So look at all things and then compare it, and you should come up with a one that you can trust and do business with.
So how do you determine whether a remediation was successful?
Well, several ways. You can, if you smell something before, you shouldn't smell it after the remediation. Mm-hmm. If you test it before, and I always advise people to test, do air spore trap testing or air quality tests, before, so that you will know what type of mold was in there, what the volume of mold was, and how it affects your body from inhaling it. So that same test you can do after the remediation is completed. If you have this is another way you could tell whether you got a good remediator or not. If they don't suggest that you have the air test done, it's a kind of a signal they want you to trust them, period. What we do is we insist at Milman Systems, we insist that after the remediation is completed, that the air test be done again. Another way to see if you have a good remediator is the guarantee that they give in the proposal. If they don't give you a guarantee, we give a year's guarantee. So if you have a spore count that goes up out of the normal range within the next 12 months, we'll come back and remediate again for free. So that's a commitment that, most remediators are not going to tend to. I've got a question that someone wants to know more about my company. Mm-hmm. My company is we concentrate solely on mold. The company's name is Millman Systems, Millman. You can get us on the web at www.millman, Millman Systems.com. The phone number is 301-261-4935. We're out of the office quite a bit, so leave a message and we'll get back to you. Someone wants to know, how long have I been in business? This on my own, actually from 1995, I went in business with Roy Johnson, and he was a great mentor and teacher. But in 2009, I formed Millman Systems, and we've been operating a family-owned business ever since 2009. Mm-hmm. I met Roy at the Million Man March, and by him tutoring me through all those years, we got very close, and we were like brothers. I followed him around and learned everything he knew. And in 2009, I called him and said, like I said earlier, that I was going exclusive mold because no one understood it. And I told him I was going to name the company in honor of where he and I met at the Million Man March, so Millman Systems.
That's decent. You're listening to Your Health on WPFW 89.3 on your FM dial in the DMV and on WPFWFM.org worldwide. We're talking about why mold is so dangerous, and our remediation expert is Al Hawkins. So if you have a call or you want to have a question or comment, call 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893 with your questions or comments. So another question is, how can I keep mold away?
Well, it's a little complicated in some cases, but the main thing is making sure you keep a dry house. Mm-hmm. You have a leak somewhere, anywhere, through a burst pipe, leaky roof, or flooded basement. If you get that place dried out within 24 to 48 hours, then you should be okay, because that's when the sporulation process occurs, anytime after 24 hours. So that's the mold reproductive process, and you want to make sure you have a dry house. The other thing is I do recommend air spore trap testing, or even mycotoxin testing. Mycotoxin testing is more in-depth and a lot more expensive. But mycotoxin testing is the best way to find out what you're dealing with. Mycotoxin testing is simply by taking a swab and rubbing it on the top of your doorways where dust accumulates and several other places. But it will give you a detail as to exactly what type of toxins are involved in what you're inhaling in the house. And it can tell you, just to give you an idea, aflatoxin, which is aflatoxin poisoning, is real prevalent in Africa. but it's here as well. But aflatoxin testing, you got all types of mycotoxins, you know, okra toxin, petroleum, a lot of them, but just aflatoxin can affect your immune system, your liver, your brain, heart, and kidneys. So, when you get that type of test, it will tell you a lot more than the air spore trap sample. But one of the biggest problems I find in keeping your house safe is you go on vacation and nobody likes to pay for air conditioning when they're on location, so they shut the system down. And especially in the summertime, humidity will build up in that house to be enough moisture to create the sporulation process. So when you're on vacation, at least set the thermometer so that your thermostat, rather, so that it's right around 70 degrees, 71 degrees, somewhere around there. And if you have a humidifier on your furnace, then you should set that for 50% or less. And that will help keep the airborne contaminants out and the moisture down.
Thank you. I understand that there are at least 50%, especially these old homes, I have mold, some kind of mold problem. Would you agree?
Yes, most definitely. But I've seen not as much, but I've seen new properties have problems as well. Mm-hmm. When I remember years ago, I got called in by a mold assessor to take care of the mold problem at a brand new home. The woman had moved into it. She was asthmatic. She started having asthma attacks. And her friend told her, look, you didn't have that many attacks before you moved in that house. You better get your air tested. So she did. A mold assessor went out and got a hold of me through the Better Business Bureau after the test came back very positive. So we went in, and the mold assessor never found the source of the moisture. But we went in, we treated the house, and just as a follow-up, I asked her if I could come back out after speaking to the mold assessor and find out that she never found the source. And nothing was showing anywhere. We went in the basement. She had this silver insulation on the basement walls, poured concrete walls. And in one spot, it had a light covering of dust all over the insulation. But in one spot, I saw a couple of drops. I looked up, and the drop ceiling had just a light water stain. So I pulled the ceiling back, and in between the joists was what we call a thermal break or insulation. I pulled that insulation out, and the seal plate was black. So I went outside, and she had a brick house, but the brick at the bottom had weep holes so that air could get in and keep the substrate on the other side of the brick dry. And she had this sprinkler system. Every time she turned it on, it threw water through that weep hole. And it caused the mold, and it grew right through that wood to the other side.
Wow.
Yeah, I can give you some stories.
Yeah, I'm sure. Call 202-588-0893 with your questions or comments. 202-588-0893. You talked about fusarium last week, a mold that is a soil-bound mold.
Yes.
Talk a little about a bit about that and oil, other soil-bound molds.
Yes. You've got in your soil, you have a lot of viruses and funguses that affect crops. This is one of the things I've been really hot on. We have invented a combatant to combat Fusarium. Fusarium's been around for more than 60 years, and no one has been able to find out how to cure it. So I set out with a scientist, and we came up with a solution that we call Nutrient, N-U-T-R-E-E-N-T. That's the name of it. Mm-hmm. Not your regular Nutrient, but N-U-T-R-E-E-N-T. And the first thing I did was I had it tested in a lab up in Rockville, Maryland. They tested it on Fusarium, and bottom line was that the good bacteria and Nutrient overwhelm the fungus Fusarium. So then I had it sent to a lab in Lahore University in Pakistan, and they did a years-long study on it, and they found that they did it on four different strains of Fusarium, and we defeated all four. To my knowledge, we're the only ones that have been able to defeat Fusarium. They've been trying so hard. Now, this Fusarium attacks a lot of different crops, but banana, it's devastating the banana industry. Right now in Colombia, they're losing billions of dollars in lost production on bananas because of Fusarium. And so we're the only ones that have been able to do it and to get rid of it. And the reason is because we put our product, we blend it with water, and then we put it in the soil around the plant. So that keeps the plant safe from the roots, safe from Fusarium or other soil-borne viruses and funguses. So okay. They've gotten so bad with this, they haven't been able to cure it, that it caused them to create a new banana that was resistant to Fusarium. And I understand they've created it, but the banana they have doesn't taste as good as the old Cavendish brand that we're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, that's not the only thing attacking the soil. We had in Puerto Rico, we had a field that was devastated by Sagatoka negra, another fungus. And we were able to successfully defeat that as well. But one day I was sitting at my kitchen table peeling a banana. My wife called me, and I put the raw banana on top of a napkin, went to see what she wanted, came back, picked the banana up, and the napkin was black. And that I had it tested. It was Sagatoka negra.
Mm-hmm.
So first question came to my mind was, gee, how much of this is getting crushed and put in the baby food? And babies' immune systems are developing, so they have no way of fending this pathogen off.
Wow. Yeah, I'll give you your contact information again.
Yes. Phone number is 301-261-4935. 301-261-4935. And the website or the email is ahawkins@millmansystems.com. A is an Apple, Hawkins, H-A-W-K-I-N-S, @millmansystems.com is my email address.
Thank you. If you have call or contact questions or comments, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We have callers on the line. First caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. I just found out that I may have mold. I live in an apartment complex, and I was smelling it because I know how it smells. I've been through it before. So I notified my management, and waiting to hear back. When I opened the HVAC room, which is on the balcony, and I saw mold just growing everywhere. So in the meantime, I covered my vents. So when they come, since I'm in D.C., what I want to know the steps that they supposed to do to you know, investigate it and then remediate it.
Well, it depends on the they have rules and regulations in D.C. Now, whether they get followed or not is a different story.
Right. That's my point.
Yeah. So I would say to you, your best bet is to call out of that list I spoke of earlier, an assessor to come out and you pay for it out of your own pocket. The tests that we charge for are $125 each. You may require three tests. So you're looking at almost, $375. But you pay for that, and then your management, if it's positive, your management should reimburse you for that.
Okay.
But I would not depend on them to take a test, first of all, because it's like admitting that you have a problem that they're responsible for. And most of them will not do that.
They're not going to let you.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said, can I contact you to come and do the test for me?
Certainly. Certainly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just call that number and I'll leave a message and I'll get back to you before the day's up. But we can do that.
Can you also give me the DC list you were referring to?
Yes, it's on Department of Energy website. And go to Department of Energy and pull that up and put in mold, and it should pop up, or mold companies, and it should pop up.
Okay.
I got a question.
Well, I will call you related to, and thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
Related to the caller's question, can you pay for actual remediation as well if you're in an apartment building that's infected?
Yes, but you shouldn't have to. If you do the spore trap tests and biotape lifts and you prove it's there, you present them with that and they have to respond.
Yeah.
If they don't respond, then you go to the Department of Energy and let them know what's going on. They'll make them respond.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Thank you so much. Peace and blessings. Yes, sir. Mr. Hawkins.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, okay, because I live in a condo, and the apartment above me was something was leaking. My children told me something leaking down. Nobody was living there at the time, and this has just been recent, like three weeks ago. And so it started leaking through my vent, you know, the vent, bathroom vent. Okay.
Yes.
And then that's when I noticed. So they called the people that came in. I guess they had something that was maybe left on, or maybe I don't know what it was. Something was over. Something was leaking somewhere upstairs. And so they turned that off. The leak stopped. But I could see that the ceiling, you know, how you can see the water bubbles and stuff like that.
Yes,
something that's leaking from up top. But they couldn't get in there. Yeah, they came the other day. They had somebody assess it. But they didn't go in to really see if the mold was in there, because they're going to have to cut it out to really go in there and look, because they couldn't get the fan out to go in there and look at it. But I'm assuming that some mold in there. Now, you were talking about these tests. Excuse me. Can you buy the tests, or you have to go through a mold company to do those tests, or is it just one or two tests that you can do? I mean, I probably can get them to do the test, or have them to do the test, and I would recommend I have some a company that I'm recommending that could come out, because I feel like I could trust you. You know, listening that you on this program on WPFW, I can trust you. Is that something that would be you? How do you think about that? And I got one more question, real quick.
Yes, you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's and you can get mold testing, but that's not professional. And reason being is mold is everywhere. So you put you open the top of this petri dish up and you set it out for a certain period of time, and then you close it up and you watch the mold form. You're going to see mold in every instance.
Right.
The professional way is to have someone come in who takes an outside test as well as an inside test. Now, outside is what we're normally dealing with that you can't do anything about.
Right.
But if the inside test comes up significantly higher in spore counts than the outside test, then that tells us we have a real problem.
So and you were saying about
generating in the house.
You were saying about this. You take a swab and wipe it over the door. Is that something
yes.
that's from a Lowe's test, or that's something that you
no,
had?
No,
you
that's do, that's a professional a test all the way. Yeah, you have to get it from a mold company. It's a mycotoxin test.
Mycotoxin.
Yes, mycotoxins. Well, with the regular air test, the lab is going to tell you how the type molds affect the human body. But the mycotoxin test goes into more detail and tells you exactly what organ it affects and exactly what happens. And that pathogen is introduced to the organ.
Okay, my last little question is real quick, because people don't have opportunities to really have access to somebody with your knowledge and expertise. And so this is a show that I think this should be on television and all kinds of stuff, with you talking about this, because that's one of the most toxic things that people run across and they don't even know it. It's mold, you know what I'm saying? And
sure.
People wonder why they're sick and why they're feeling this way, because you got a whole lot of mold up in your house. And you're just breathing it all the time for years, some people.
Yes.
But my last question is that I got a little surface mold in the bathroom. You know, you know, you shower, the fan is not moving, the venting is good. So what's the best way, natural way, to get rid of that type of little, it's not a whole lot, it's about six inches or so, like that, you know, sporadic area, one particular area that I wanted to try to see about, just, you know, get some mold spray or some stuff like that. They got these different companies, got this stuff. What's the best thing that I probably can use it on the surface?
Is it on the towel or on the drywall?
It's on the drywall.
Okay, in the ceiling?
Yeah, right, you know, over the tub, over the shower,
sure.
Just over that particular area. It keeps coming in that area. I don't think they put the right... Is there such a thing as mold-resistant paint?
Yes, there is mold-resistant paint.
That's what I figured. I think they put the wrong kind of paint in there.
Yeah, well, they're not going to... It's more expensive, so they're not going to put the right type paint in there unless they're
Exactly, that's what I said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now bathrooms are historically bad, because if you had an infrared, and we talked about this last week, if you had an infrared light and you flush the toilet, you can see the spray come up. If you turn the face bowl faucet on, you can see spray come up from that. Naturally, the shower is going to put moisture in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Those three items put moisture in the air to the tune of 5 gallons a year.
Wow.
So, yes. So my advice is every time, well, to answer your question, yes, you can get some some mold spray. You can get what I recommend most of the time is odor band. That I get
odor band.
Yeah, odor band.
O-D-E-R?
Yes.
Okay. B-A-N-D?
Yes. B-A-N. In fact, I think it's O-D-O-B-A-N.
O-D-O.
Yes, yeah. B-A-N.
O-D-O-D-A-N. Older than, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And you probably got that at a Walmart or...
Yes, you can get it at Sam's or Home Depot and places like that.
Right, okay.
But wear an N95 mask.
Okay, N95. Yeah, I got some of them.
And rubber gloves and put some goggles on. And
right.
cover yourself as, you know, long sleeve shirt, pull the collar up, top button,
yes,
and that type of thing. If you got overalls, use them. And you can get a regular sponge and wipe it off. Now, word of caution, if it does not wipe off, if that stain is deep, it's going to have to be cut out.
Okay, now, so if it don't wipe off, that means it's inside the drywall and it's going to have to be cut out.
Exactly.
And put a new piece of drywall in there.
Right. But the thing is, to prevent that, you should, every time you turn the light on in your bathroom, the fan, you should turn that on also. That will.
How long I leave that on? About 30 minutes? The light, the fan, after a shower?
As long as you're in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, put it on. That's what I tell my children. I don't think that's my children, my son and daughter bathroom, but they don't turn it on. They turn on after they get out, but you should turn it on before you get in the shower.
Exactly.
And so turn the light on that way, yeah.
That's right, and it will exhaust the excess moisture from the air. Now, word of caution.
Yes, sir.
I've seen too often where the contractor that installs that fan will terminate the exhaust in the attic.
Yep.
Instead of running it to the outside.
Yeah, I'm gonna have that checked out. That's an excellent observation. Exhaust fan, vent it to the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, not just vent it up in the ceiling up there. That's caused more problems.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Excellent point. Thank you so much, sir. And I greatly appreciate WTFW having this show on and allowing me to call in with these questions. I hope that people benefit from your knowledge and information. I got all your information. I'll be contacting the people and maybe calling you soon.
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so
in.
Much. Peace and blessing.
Thank you, Al Hawkins, and thank you, callers. We got some decent questions. Give your contact information again for anybody else that wants to contact you.
Yes, phone number is 301-261-4935. 301-261-4935. You'll get a recording, but I'll get back to you.
And your website and email address?
Yes, the email address is A as in Apple Hawkins, H-A-W-K-I-N-S, at Millman Systems, M-I-L-L-M-A-N Systems, SYSTEMS.com.
Thank you so much. I think we covered all of the questions. You talked about fusarium and any wrap up statements.
Last week we talked about how this was biblical. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, in Leviticus 14, starting at verse 35, they call it the plague, it said, it seems there's a plague in my house. Well, God told them how to treat it, and it's the same way that they, in the previous chapter, they treated leprosy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. And what's that scripture again?
It's Leviticus 14, starting at verse 35 through to the end of the chapter.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Al Hawkins, and for presenting this vital information. Immense thanks to our engineers, Mike Nasella and Kalia Chapman. Mayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all of our tireless, hardworking WPFW staff, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Maka B, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that is To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen to next Monday at 2 p.m. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. You can listen to a recording of this and other broadcasts by going to wpfw.org/archives. Simply search for To Your Health.
Say all over the West, the healthcare in a mess, especially for the poor, that's for sure. Eat good exercise and try your best. Might be seeing the doctor less and less. In your own health, you have to invest. It's in the best of your interest, cause health is wealth. Vital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else.
Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
Inviting all D.C. hand dancers, Philly boppers, Chicago steppers, Carolina shaggers, and West Coast swingers. The Treehouse Dreamers venue offers dance music from Motown and more every Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. at 4722 14th Street Northwest. DJ Jammin' Dave and other fine DJs provide an atmosphere offering seniors socialization while getting much-needed quality movement through familiar tunes and dance every Friday. Details at 301-922-4064. That's 301-922-4064. WPFW offering wellness through dance, one activity at a time.
If you're a dancer or just a fan, the Way You Move Festival is coming to Washington, D.C. with jams, competitions, and classes. December 13th through the 16th. Whether you're into hip-hop, house, breaking, popping, or locking, we got you covered with top-notch Small Fries Edition, all-styles dance jam and competition for youth ages 17 and under on the 13th at Edgewood Arts Center. Freshest of all time, 2-vs-2 breaking battle, ages 18 and up, also on the 13th at the Black Cat. The world-famous Juice DeBoot 2-vs-2 competition, DC prelims, on the 14th at The Reach. And masterclasses with international Juice DeBoot judges on the 15th and 16th. All in Washington, D.C., all family-friendly, December 13th through 16th. Additional event and registration information at wblinc.org/thewayyoumove. Brought to you by the Words, Beats, and Life nonprofit.
Thank you to everyone who supported WPFW on Giving Tuesday. Your generosity helps keep independent, listener-supported radio strong. If you weren't able to give earlier this week, there is always time. Every contribution at any level helps sustain the music, culture, and progressive voices you hear on WPFW every day. Our end-of-year drive begins Sunday, December 14th. For listeners with IRAs, this is also a reminder that year-end required minimum distributions are approaching. A qualified charitable distribution may be a meaningful way to support WPFW while meeting your RMD. However you choose to give, thank you for standing with Community People Powered Radio. Please call 202-588-9739 or visit wpfwfm.org to learn more. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. In March of this year, President Trump fired Democratic FTC commissioners Rebecca Slaughter and Alvaro Bedoya. Both claim their terminations were illegal, and Rebecca Slaughter is currently fighting her case in the Supreme Court. Slaughter and her team want to prevent the president from being able to terminate commissioners without just cause, saying that doing so will allow the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, to remain a bipartisan, independent federal agency. Slaughter is supporting her argument with a Supreme Court decision made 90 years ago in 1935, which determined that FTC commissioners may only be dismissed from their jobs by the president for inefficiency, neglect of duty, or wrongdoing in office. Anything other than that is unconstitutional. However, in today's arguments, the conservative majority of the Supreme Court seemed to side with the president, which could allow future presidents to remove independent regulators without just cause. On the other hand, liberal justices warned that backing Trump could, quote, destroy the structure of government. A decision in this case is expected before the end of June 2026. Today, the head of the World Health Organization revealed that the death toll from drone strikes in Sudan last week have now risen to 114 people, including 63 children. The World Health Organization, or the WHO, explained that there were three separate drone strikes last Thursday. The first targeted a kindergarten facility, and the following strikes targeted paramedics as they transported the survivors, and then a hospital. The WHO's director general said on social media that their organization, quote, deplores these senseless attacks on civilians and health facilities and calls again for an end to the violence and increased access to humanitarian aid, including health, end quote. The United Nations Secretary General has also expressed outrage over last week's attacks. Alina Haba, President Trump's former personal lawyer, resigned today as the acting U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. This comes 1 week after a panel of appellate judges from the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Alina Haba was serving unlawfully in that position. The judges determined that the Trump administration violated the law by using a series of maneuvers to install Haba in the U.S. attorney position after failing to win Senate support. Alina Haba said in a statement that her stepping down should not be mistaken as surrender, but that she's doing so in order to, quote, protect the stability and integrity of the office which she loves. Attorney General Pam Bondi said the Justice Department will seek further review of the ruling that called Haba's appointment unlawful, saying that if the decision is reversed, Alina Haba will return to the position of U.S. Attorney for the District of New Jersey. To the D.C. area, Mayor Muriel Bowser announced today that Pamela Smith will be stepping down from her role as D.C. Police Chief at the end of this month after 2+ years of service. Smith, who has more than 25 years of law enforcement experience altogether, was nominated to lead the police department in July of 2023, becoming the first Black woman to do so. Smith said that serving as police chief has been challenging, rewarding, but, quote, the greatest honor of her career. Mayor Bowser praised her efforts as well, saying, and I quote, Chief Smith dramatically drove down violent crime, drove down the homicide rate to its lowest levels in 8 years, and helped us restore a sense of safety and accountability in our neighborhoods, end quote. She added, we are grateful for her service to Washington, D.C. In today's weather, it's currently about 34 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe. And thank you for listening.